It is so good to be coming to you in your living room live from the Edge today. This is such a move forward for us, and we are just so thankful to all those of our technical team and staff who have made this happen and all our volunteers. We are so thankful to all of you. And I was driving down to the Edge this morning. This is our arena, the Edge Arena, in the glorious sunshine. And after a rainy day yesterday, it was so good to have some sunshine on my face as I was driving down. And so we welcome you live this morning as we come to speak to you on a specific subject that I've called New Day, New Way. New Way, New Day. His ways, if you like, for our days. We are in a time of unprecedented change, and it's clear all around us. And you know, that change we can't ignore. We must change. We cannot just continue to do all the things that we've always done in the way that we've always done them. It reminds me of the story of Granny's cooking, and there was a little girl watching her mother cook the Sunday roast one day and preparing it. And she's watching what her mum did, and it seems strange that before she put the joint of meat into the oven, she took a knife and she chopped somewhat of the end of the meat off, put it to one side, put the joint into the tin and into the oven. And the little girl was so wondering what's going on. She said, "Mummy, why do you do that?" And her mother said to her, "Well, I've always done it that way." Well, little girl's like, "Well, what does it mean? Why, what's the purpose of it?" She says, "Well, I don't really know what the purpose is." "Well, why do you do it then?" She said, "Well, because your granny has always done it that way." And so she said, "Well, can we find out?" So she said, "Let's ring Granny right now." So they got Granny on the phone. And the little girl said, "Grandma," says, "I've just been watching Mummy prepare the roast, and she cut the end off the meat." And she said, "That's what you used to do." She says, "Is that right?" And the grandma said, "Yeah, that's right." She says, "Well, what was the purpose of it?" She said, "Well, actually, the roast was too big for the tin, so I cut the end off the meat." You know, if we continue to do what we've always done, we will always get what we've always had. And I was looking at Romans 2 this week. Romans 12, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. And it reads like this. Don't copy, listen to the words. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Hear me this morning. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. On the back of that, let me say to you, it's time to stop cutting the end off the meat joint. There is a new way for a new day. There is what is called contrarian. It is sometimes the opposite of what we've done and what we're used to, but maybe the thing that we need to do in this season and for the coming days. You know, every new generation needs new generation thinkers. So here's a couple of thoughts I wanted to share with you this today about things that have really challenged me, things that are stirring up my heart as I think about this new season that I want to share with you. The first one is this, that if you surround yourself with sameness, then you're always going to get the same. It seems simple, doesn't it? But if we keep doing the same things, we're going to get the same things. So what am I saying? I'm saying if we just continue to always meet with exactly the same people, if we read the same material, the same kind of books all the time on that particular subject that you may love, if that is the thing that you continually do, if you listen to the same kind of stuff time and time again, if you watch the same series over and over and over again, then that, my friend, is going to affect the way that you live. If the input that you have is the same, you are always going to be the same. Imagine if we got a forum together, and this forum was to discuss the evolution of the beloved game of football. And so I know that lots of people are turning off right now from this. Listen to me just for a moment. And so we want to discuss the evolution of football. And so we think, well, who can we get into the room? Who would be the right people to have in the room? Well, we think people who know something about football. So we would probably have Gary Neville in there. We would probably have, I don't know, Alex Ferguson in there. We would likely have Jamie Carragher. We would probably have an Alan Shearer in there. We would bring them together to discuss the evolution of football. But then I realize that there's a problem. Well, what's the problem? Because they're all football experts. And here lies the problem, that they all think the same about football. There is probably not much that one knows more about football than the other expert on football. And you know why? Because they all have the same frame of reference. They all think the same way. But how about, think for a moment with me, how about if we put someone in that room, in that forum, to discuss football or the evolution of it, who isn't a football expert, but just thinks a little bit differently, that has a different frame of reference? What difference could that make to the discussion and indeed to the evolution of football? I can't go ahead without mentioning my favourite manager, who happens to manage in my favourite club and the club that I support, Liverpool. His name is Jurgen Klopp. And so here we have another football expert. But let me tell you something that's a little bit different about Jurgen Klopp. His frame of reference is somewhat different to any other manager that I've ever heard. His frame of reference goes far beyond the game of football. His frame of reference is life and its humanity. I believe that's why he's not only such a successful football manager, but such a successful personality on the scene in our world at this time. You know, the problem is, here's the issue. The issue is homogeneity. Wow, there's a word for you. There's the issue, right there. You tell anybody the problem, Dave says, is homogeneity. They can't even say it. It's homogeneity, which basically means the same. It means everyone being the same. So that the same kind of socio-economic level, the same gender, the same thinking patterns, this is what this word relates to. And all that these people actually create is homophily, which means they just create the same things. How many know if we want different, we've got to change? There has to be different things that are going on. And so I say right now, in that, who's on your team? At work, who's on your team? Anything that you have a say in, who is on your team? Are they all the same kind of people? Do they all think the same? Or is there somehow some kind of diversity there? You know, your prayer today may be, God, change me. We're speaking about change here, and it may be, God, change me. Well, that's a good prayer, but you know, we can do that and we can say, God, change me, but continue to believe the same, begin to and continue to listen to the same negativity and even the things that we say to ourselves. It's what Matthew Syed in his book and his writings calls perspective blindness. Perspective blindness is that because of our point of view, because of our vantage point, we see things in a certain way, and we need other people to come around us who maybe see those things a bit differently to help us forward in our thinking. Another big challenge to me at the moment is this. To change your thinking, hear this, to change your thinking, you may have to just change your worldview. Wow. To change your thinking, you may just have to change your worldview. Too many people have already made their minds up, and because of that, they are stuck, and you may be one of those people today. I spoke to a lady just this week who, because of an injury to her ankle, had to spend 6 months in a wheelchair. I said, "How did you go on?" She said, "It totally changed my worldview." What's that about? Well, when you're sat so much lower, you see things from a different point of view. Your whole worldview changes because of the changing of your position. So let me ask you a question. What if you had a different worldview about leadership? What if this image that we have of leadership could be shed, and you might even believe that you could be a leader? What if our worldview of what we're supposed to be doing on earth changed? And changed from this thought of we have our ticket to heaven, we know Jesus as our Savior, and we're on our way to heaven. What happens if we could change our worldview from that to we are a family mission with great purpose on this earth? What if we could change our worldview? You see, if you hang with different, you're going to change. If you never hang with different, you're never going to change. You know, it's the same for business people. Same for those of corporate organizations. If you hire all the same kind of people in the company, you're going to get the same. And they all may be very competent at what they do, but if they are the same, you are going to get the same. Sometimes in our business world, we need more than just good competence. I close with this. I have two friends, and I know what you're thinking right now. That's all he's got. I'm surprised he's got two, actually. But two of my friends. I have two friends. And one of those friends, you know, as I speak to him over the years, his mind is made up. He's got it all sorted in his own mind. He's like concrete. It's a mindset. And there's no kind of real teachability there. Yet I have another friend who, even recently as I've spoken with him at length, he says to me, "You know, Dave, my worldview has changed." You know, that guy at the moment is like Play-Doh. He's pliable. He's teachable. And you know what? I know which one I would rather be and rather be with. You see, the worst thing for navigating a new season is to have already made your mind up. Let me remind you of the scripture as we close today. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. As we draw this to a close today, let me bring a positive challenge maybe into your life. You know, you may be on this live broadcast this morning and you don't know Jesus. You have no relationship with God. I wonder what your worldview is of Jesus. I wonder if you see him as this character who of history that people go on about, but you don't really know much about. Or maybe your worldview of Jesus is as of God, that you look and you think, wow, he is God waiting to see what I do wrong so that he can come and punish me. Well, you know what? I want to encourage you to change your worldview of Jesus today. I want you to see him as the Savior of the world. I want you to see him as the person that knows you, that knows your address, that cares for you, that loved you so much that he died for you so that he could release you from the bondage sometimes that you felt in your life. okay, I've pretty much done, and I'm going to give you a question now that we are to discuss for the next few minutes before our host comes back and wraps some stuff up. But let me give you this question from, here's my challenge and question. How much is your worldview stopping God from changing your mind? How much is your worldview, your current worldview, stopping God from changing your mind?